Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. Everybody, welcome to our Big Blend Radio Second Wednesday Books and Authors Show with Books Forward. Today, we are welcoming Reginald Reed to the show. He's going to be talking about his true crime memoir called The Day My Mother Never Came Home. Man, even that title gets you. I'm telling you, this story is going to get you. And I'm glad he's written it, because I think sometimes these things happen to our families that are very traumatic, but you want to find the answers. And we don't want things like this to happen. Unfortunately, they do. So welcome to the show, Reginald. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I'm doing
well.
I'm
glad to have you. Glad to have you on the show. I want people to know your book, The Day My Mother Never Came Home, is out May 21st, 2024, and it is available for pre-order. So you can go to rlreed.com, and that's R-E-E-D, rlreed.com, also Amazon, all those great places. But Reggie, you're going to have this where people can even order direct from the author, which, wow, how novel is that?
Yes, ma'am, I sure will. I just try to just add a little special touch to it.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, so you lost your mom when you were a child, and we're going to get into that, but what led you to actually write about it?
Well, you know, that's been a question that I received a lot after I started putting the pen to the paper. But it's really, you know, over the years, you know, it went silent, you know, based on after my mother was initially murdered, you know, and 30 plus years later, you know, when everything started to come out, quote unquote, hit the fan, you know, and things took a huge turn. I said, you know, I need to share this story, because I was at a place where, you know, emotionally, I was pulled in many different directions, you know, with my father being involved. And I say, you know, I need to take this opportunity to make it into a positive as much as I can, because I was surrounded by so much negativity.
Yeah, there's so much that goes with that. You know, I shared before we started recording that my mom's brother was murdered, and it ended up on America's Most Wanted. And it happened so fast. It was the largest industrial shooting in the country at the time. This was in the early 90s when we first got back to this country after living in Africa for almost all my life. And it was on TV. That's how we found out, on the news. Yeah. And we were in California. And I came home from, you know, getting groceries. And my mom was just, you know, as you can imagine. And she's like, look, and I could see my uncle, his body being put onto the ambulance, you know, even though, like, why do they need an ambulance at that point? But you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, it was traumatic. And it just doesn't go away. And I think murder can happen. And that was a person that was mentally ill, who was his employee that did it and killed another person there too, and my uncle's work. And it happens so fast. And the guy actually bailed all the way to Mexico, and America's Most Wanted is the one who got him. And it took a long time to get him over here. But I understand, it's like all of a sudden there's all this drama, and then boom, everyone forgets about it. It's like it never happened. So did you feel that way as a kid too? Like, just boom, like, wow.
Yeah, I did. And you know, it's strange, because as I reflect back, you know, to the moments that I do recall after my mother was murdered, like, everything was extreme chaos. And then, you know, I was my mother's only son, only child, if you will. And it was just me and my dad. And just life, kind of looking back, it's like life went on, but it also fast forward, you know, and it's like it moved so quickly. You know, at the same time, it's like I didn't really have time as a 6-year-old to really reflect, because from my family standpoint, I assume everybody was just trying to keep me take care of me and comfort me, and basically just kind of hide the details of what happened. I knew my mother was no longer here with us, but as far as the details, I didn't learn that till later on as I got older and I started to do research on my own.
Wow. And so going on your website, and everyone again, rlreed.com, going on your website and seeing the section on evidence, and man, it gave me chills. And just to see, you had like a little toy truck there. It was like it is a cop car, right? That's a little cop car on there. But to see
Yeah, that was
the
found.
evidence is crazy. Like, that's freaky.
I know, and it's interesting you say that because when I first saw that, it was first started doing, I think from a picture, but during the trial, I actually saw the toy car, the car, and I was like, wow, that just gave me chills to say, hey, that was my car. It was my toy, that I played with, and it was found in my mother's car.
Wow. And you're at 6 years old, you barely even understand death. That's your age when this happened, right? So, I mean, we at that age, unless we had a goldfish that died or something, we didn't really understand as much back then, I don't think even. Now, we have the internet and stuff, but this was in the 80s. So this was pre-internet, knowing Google and everything, right? So, I mean, could you even comprehend loss at that point, other than where's mom?
No, I really couldn't. It's a video that I look back at where I was being actually interviewed by one of the detectives, investigators, like a month after this all happened. And one of the questions that was asked of me was, "Well, who's at the house? Like, who's still at the house?" And as a 6-year-old, I noticed myself kind of confused. I was saying my dad. I had a Labrador, a golden Labrador named Duke. I was like, Dad, Duke. And then when it got to my mother, I kind of looked at my dad. I was like, and then my dad kind of alluded to like, yeah, she's still with us, basically from a spiritual standpoint. But yeah, to your point, I truly didn't understand like if she was ever coming back or if she's gone forever. No, it was just kind of, I'm six.
Did they go searching for her killer at that point, or did they kind of, and I'm just going to say this is in Hammond, Louisiana, just outside Baton Rouge. I've driven through there quite a few times, actually. Did the police and detectives do more than a few days' work on this case?
From my understanding, just going through different documents and speaking with people, they did a very thorough investigation, to
Cool.
my knowledge. They basically cased the town,
Wow.
interviewed people, asked questions, and I say this, and that's what it's like. What's so bizarre to me that they, it's from a justice standpoint, you would think it's easier to solve a case when everybody's still around versus 30 plus years later.
Wow, so they didn't know, and so it was like a cold case in a way, right? So until you decided to, and so what, how old were you when you decided to go, well, I want to get some answers. How old were you?
And I want to preface that I wasn't an initiator of this case coming back up. It wasn't me. I did my own due diligence throughout my early teen years, when I had, exposure to library and they had this microfilm. I remember going to the Southeastern University Library at one point and researching a microfilm, researching articles, local articles from the Daily Star, and just finding, the initial article that was written up about my mother's murder. But just to go back, I didn't like go to the authorities and say, hey, I want to find more about, you know, what happened to my mother. This just all came about. I don't really know how it came about, how it resurfaced, but from my understanding, every so often, cold cases are kind of picked up and reevaluated. You know, so apparently the cold case that was very popular, if you will, you know, back then in Hammond, and I think if I'm correct, I think my mother's sisters kind of like they were heavily involved in, and which I understand, right? It's like it's your sibling murdered, the case went cold, you want to find out what happened, you want some type of closure. And subliminally, I wanted that closure, but I looked at life a little different. I said, you know, whether we find the killer or whatever, it's not going to bring my mother back. So I was at peace just going through life, continue to live life, you know, just kind of with that dark cloud in the corner. Just like, you know, I hate to say it, but it is what it is, right? So I just wasn't spending my energy in trying to find out. I would just put my energy towards just continue to thrive and be successful in life.
That makes sense, though. You know, it makes sense. And they do bring those cases back, you know. But it does just get like boom. It's so weird how it happens. It's like, you know, we've been through some natural disasters, my mom and I, and like wildfires and stuff like that, and it's all over the news. And then you go back to pick up your life, and it's like nobody knows that the fire happened. You know, it's like all these
Right,
people's
right.
homes burned down, and you're like, what? You know, and it's like, all right, on to the next thing, you know. But I think we
Right.
have so much of this news that that's actually what happens in reality. How much, you know, and there are news channels that go back and do follow-up things, but it's, you know, it's wild, these kinds of things. And then you start getting into it, and I can understand wanting to move forward because, you know, again, you were young, you were 6 years old, you know. It would have been harder, I think, if you had known your mom even longer. You know, especially into your teen years. But then
Right,
finding out
exactly.
that through this, that your dad may have been part of this, that's got to have been a hard pill to swallow. I said may. It's on everything. May have been. Not, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and it's, you know, it's a very unique and tragic situation. You know, I don't have to say that. You know, anybody
No.
that looks up my story or hear about it, like, wow, this has like this is tough. But no, to your point, it was such of a shock when I initially got that call saying that my dad was indicted for second degree murder of my mother. I was just like, time just stopped. I wanted to wake up from a bad dream, you know, and it wasn't a dream, it was reality. And then that's what really I say, okay. That's when I had to step back and say, okay, how are we going to handle this? And I had to look myself in the mirror, you know. And at that point, you know, I, you know, was married. You know, my son wasn't born yet, and I, you know, he was. And at that point, you know, I had made it. Oh. Not made it, but was making it through life, you know, being successful and just moving on, you know, and then I'm hit with tragedy again. You know, after have dealt with tragedy all my life from the age of six.
What makes you rethink everything, you know, when something like that happens, and especially when it's a relative, it's freaky. You know, there's just, it's like, yeah, that's like a, that's freaky. And did you feel betrayed?
Well, yeah, and you know, at that point, it's such a unique circumstance, right? Because my dad raised me. Let me make that clear. Like after my mother was murdered, you know, I didn't get sent off to a relative's house or or grandmother's house or anything like that. Like my dad, he raised me. So that's what I knew majority of my life. And just thinking back all the times and it, you know, we shared, it was just him and I in the house. And then later I hear this news. So you're right. I reflect back and like, man, did I survive something? You know, because I hear things on the way she possibly was murdered, you know, and I hear all these things. There's no concrete facts, but it just makes me wonder, you know. And then I wonder, like, I come to a fork in the road. I'm like, okay, if he did do it or have anything to do with it, why did it take 30 plus years?
So from there, now you start really getting investigating and wow. So did you write, I mean, I don't want to give the ending away because it's a true story and it's, and it is, you know, people want to know, but I mean, writing all of this down had to help therapeutically get it out too. Like once you've, you know, this is now all dug up and here's the cold case. Now it's hot again and now you're an adult, you know, and it's gotta be just when you have your son like being born, that's gotta be like, okay, you know, don't go sit on granddad's lap kind of thing. You know, it's kind of like that's a freaky situation to be in where it is betrayal, you know? And I think that this is a very important part of this. And why I'm glad you're writing this happens to people around the world, across the country, some form of betrayal that is really hard to swallow, and it can take a lifetime to get past. And you can't just go, all right, moving on, because it's always sitting there on your shoulder in some way until you it's faced. And I don't, and people who are victims of crime, it feels very you feel very alone, you know, and that nobody understands, which is the worst feeling to be in, but it's not true. And to understand that there's so many people affected by crime, violent crime, and you're not alone. I don't want, that's not necessarily a good thing because I wish there wasn't any of this stuff, but the reality is, you know, there's therapy in reaching out to others, reading stories, hearing stories, even watching on TV to understand that you can move forward. Is that part of like with writing this, do you feel it gives any hope to move forward? I think the fact that you've written it and a book is out, that to me is moving forward.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, the writing process was, it was a healing process for me, very cathartic, you know. And because to your point, yes, you know, you feel so, it's a mixed array of feelings that you feel when going through something of this magnitude. You feel alone, you feel ashamed. It's like, I don't, you feel judged. You know, as a black man, you know, it that's working in corporate America. You know, for me, it took a lot of courage to put this story out because, you know, people can easily judge you and be like, wow, like you come from this, you know, and but you know, it is moving forward, you know, because when I initially just took that, just sat down. You know, I never wrote a book in my life. I'm not an author. You know, I actually don't like reading that much. I actually talk about that in the book, seriously. And, but you know, I said, yeah, I have to make this, I have to make something out of this. And that's what I did. Like I mentioned earlier, I put the pen to paper and just started writing. But I do agree that these are the stories. As bad as they are, people go through stuff like this. People go through maybe worse or maybe not so bad, and they hit a stopping point in life and they feel like they can't move forward. You know, and this is really my hope is to inspire people that you can move forward, you can move past. Now you might not be 100% healed, and you're always going to have your moments, but I just wanted to really articulate in my memoir that you can make it happen, despite the trauma that someone has dealt with, you still move forward and make something of yourself and enjoy life.
And I also want to say that in ways your past defines you, and it's how you handle it, but your past and your relatives do not define you. You know what I mean? Because I think that's the hard part. Like when there's a shady character in my life that I'm not going to talk about right now until he's gone. I'm just saying, it's beyond shady. But you don't want to be defined by that, just because. And that's the weird thing. It's like, they say blood is thicker than water, but you can make choices. And that's not always true. People do things out of so many reasons. And I remember doing a podcast once, and we were talking about crime and what can happen. And we were talking about my mom's brother's murder. And I, I was talking about, people end up in jail and they end up in trouble because something is wrong. Unless you're a complete, if you were born as a psychopath, right? Like that's already, you're born that way with something wrong. A lot of it comes from some kind of trauma or mental illness or something there that makes you do some kind of crime. Something is wrong there. And she wasn't ready to hear that. And I know people aren't ready to hear that, but a lot of times, and sometimes I'm really not ready to hear that. But sometimes I have to go there and realize, it's hard to understand crime, and and it creates hate and hatred because of anger and pain. But once you get past that part, which sometimes you never really 100% do, there's something that sparked it. And I feel like we still have to have some kind of humanity over that, and yet it's really difficult when it's close to you. Do you know what I mean? It's hard. It's hard. Like forgiveness and things like that is so darn hard. It really is. But you have to
No,
let
I
go.
agree.
And yeah, there's.
No, I definitely agree, because with you saying, and I think back, and I could be, in all transparency, I could be just full of hate, full of anger, and just be really in a bad place right now. And you know what? I was having this conversation with a friend. I said, if I chose that path, or chose, just to go on the other side of the road, if you will, in life, take a different path, I would have got an excuse. And what I mean by that is, people would have looked at me and said, you know what? I understand why he's kind of messed up, because this happened. Happened to his mother. I would have got a pass. I would have got a li I literally would have got a pass to be messed up or make poor decisions in life. But I chose not to take that path. That wasn't the journey I wanted to take. That wasn't the life I wanted to live. So that's why I
That's why I
share
say
this story
sometimes our
with them.
past doesn't define us, yet it does. It's part of
Right.
it, but it's how we overcome, right? And it's hard. It's just not easy, but it is a choice, even though, you obviously you didn't have a choice about your mom's murder, right? But there's a choice of how to handle it. And it's just everybody has a different time and way, I think, Wow. And so now you've here you are, you've got a daughter now too, right?
Yes, 1 month old. There was a lot going on at the Reed
Wow.
household. A 4-year-old and 1 month old.
Wow, you're busy. Yeah, you're busy. You got your career, you're writing a book, and now going and speaking about this. And I hope you do some speaking engagements on this, obviously doing podcasts and things like that, but with your book, I think it can help people move forward on all kinds of things, like you're saying. It's all kinds of things to move forward, because I think You are definitely inspiring in sharing this and obviously moving forward, which is proof that you can, you know? And we all need those stories to move forward.
Yes, and I
Yeah.
do plan on, I'm open to obviously sharing my story to the masses because and one thing I do want to point out is that we a lot of times we it, especially in today's time with social media and everything, we see death stories of, people have idols and it's like the, the Mark Zuckerbergs or the LeBron James of the world, and which is great, right? But I think more people like myself and you live normal lives, happy, successful. Those are the people that I'm trying to impact and
Yeah.
share that, look, you look, obviously set your sights on the stars. If you land on the moon, you're still good. But just know that, you don't have to be the next Facebook creator to live a happy, joyful life. You can get a good job. You can progress through a company. You can work hard. Just go back to the basics, right? Just work hard and just,
Work is
set your
good.
sights on goals. Yeah, just work hard. Just work,
I think
and
that's a
have
huge
goals.
deal. Working hard is a, not too, I don't want people to like go crazy, but not a form of hiding. But it, when you, when, whenever you feel bad, if you, number one, listen to music, it always helps. But to be active in something helps pull you up. And to do some, it's something bigger than what you're going through. It helps, even if it's smaller, actually. You know, maybe even if it's volunteering or something, if you work and you apply yourself, you can start making a shift because I think you're active in it. And you're right, you don't have to be the Zuckerbergs or the Bezos or anything like that. And a lot of times they just got lucky. They kept applying, and then one of
Yes.
their applications got him to be lucky. I was listening to a podcast with Mark Cuban. I mean, he's like a billionaire, right? And he's
Right.
just like, and it was Trevor Noah. Yeah, Trevor Noah. And Trevor Noah asked him, like, what was it that you did? And he's like, I kept applying myself, doing all these things. And I just like business. And, just all the stars aligned. And he says, I don't think if all his stuff, if it happened now, it may not have worked. And he's just like, you just have to keep going until your luck pulls through. And he's like, his biggest luck is his family, period. That's it, you know? And
That's it.
so, yeah, his kids and his wife are everything to him, you know? So I think, look what you've achieved. You've got, a family. I mean, that is, you can't get better than that in life, you know? Love conquers all, but he applied and applied and applied, and there's a luck factor, the luck of the draw. We always get dealt those cards in hands in life, and they say it's how you play them, not the cards. It's how you play those
It's
cards.
true. It's true. We
Yeah.
all have cards we're dealt with. Like they say, that saying, forgive me, I don't know the original quarter of it, but life is about, it's 10% what happens to you, 90% how you respond. That's
Yeah.
life right there. It's
Yeah.
all
No, it's
about the
really true.
response.
Oh boy, we have to be emotionally intelligent. That's it. It's true. It's true. But also know who you are through this. Going through something like this, did you get to know who you are as a person going through this? Like know yourself better. 'Cause I feel like you knew who you were before this, and applied yourself to life, right? And career and
Yes.
family and all the good stuff. But going through this, did you learn more about yourself?
I did, and my awareness was heightened. What I mean by that, it was points where I really never knew why I was a certain way until, for example, when I met my fiance, who's now my wife, He always shared with me that you know, I'm not emotional enough, or, you know, I kind of keep things in. And more and more I analyze that, that's why. So mothers play such an important role in a child's life, and I see
Oh,
that
yeah.
with our kids. And growing up without one, and then especially if your dad's a Marine, you
Oh,
just don't
yeah.
get the you don't get the TLC that a mother would provide. My son doesn't, he knows the difference. He will ask mom for a brand new Bentley, but he wouldn't dare ask me for that. And it's just, you know, it's just part of it, right? And
Yeah.
I said that's not a horrible analogy, but you know, I think you understand what I'm saying. It's like
Yeah.
that
Yeah.
whole TLC, that tender love and care, that's what
That
mother,
it
that's
says
one of the things
nurturing.
mother, yeah, exactly. And I didn't have that. So I was raised to survive. That's how I was raised. Which
You oh, that is huge.
I don't, and I don't, it benefited me a lot in life, but I wasn't just, you know, the typical child just living, having fun. You know, I had fun. I had friends, but I was in survival mode most of my life.
That's when we put that big armor around ourselves too. And then you have to, at some point, realize it's okay to not be in survival mode, that you're allowed to now thrive. You know, there's a lot of
Exactly.
people that teach that, you know, transformational coaches and things. We've done a lot of that on our shows, where you go from survival to thrive. And some people are born without needing that survival, but just didn't have the education or know-how of, you know, but the survival mode is really real. You know, I know that I've certainly gone through that in life, because, you know, we always were like, you know, I was raised from a single mom in Africa, and you know, we it was a whole crazy long, that's a long story, but you become the survival person and survivalist, and that's not necessarily quality of life, you know.
No.
Humor comes in forms of hysteria at times. You know, it's like you'll laugh at things.
Exactly.
You know, it's like you go to a friend's funeral and you get the giggles. Yeah, that's you know, humor helps everything. But so it's and sometimes it's, you know, we don't let the guard down because of the survival. You're in that, and you're always calculating. And it, you know, it's like they always say, you know, how you act is, well, how you treat others is how you act yourself, kind of thing. Like
Right.
you look at people in a way of like, what do you want? You know, kind of thing. Not you don't have as much of a trust factor when you're in a survival mode, because you're in survival mode. You know, if you gain give people more trust in things, and allow people to fall down more when you're not in survival mode. Did that make sense? You know what I
No, it
mean?
makes
We just
perfect sense, 'cause that's what I've lived. Like I have gotten better over the time, but it's, you know, because I became more self-aware, like I mentioned. But yes, that's a lot of it. It's like I had zero tolerance for a lot of things because and that was the norm for me, just surviving, you know, just keeping my head down. It wasn't too much joy. And now I feel like I'm playing catch up from
Well, it's an,
all the
yeah.
years that I was deprived of that.
Well, it's in a way, it's cool that your kids are so young, right? So
Yeah.
it's like a good footing, you know, for playing catch up. You know, you get to have fun. You get to be a child again. How about that? Because you do as a
And you know
parent.
what?
And
I find myself doing that because a lot of the things that I like and wish I could have did with my dad as a child, I do that with, you know, my son, and soon to, you know, with my daughter as she gets older, you know, like going to live sporting events, you know, just like a few weeks ago, bought my son a PlayStation video game, and he's only four, but Yeah, I do. That's one memory I do have, you know, just growing up, my dad and I, we played the game a lot, you know. But to your point, it's, yeah, I find myself kind of reliving some of that
Yeah.
childhood with my son and with my daughter as well. When she gets old, I'm sure it's gonna be a little different with her though. So.
Well, I know it's gonna be, that's always, when she becomes a teenager,
She's
that's gonna
gonna
be a whole other
demand
world.
more. She is gonna demand more. I
Oh,
already
she's
know
gonna have you wrapped around her finger. I'm just kidding, but you know how it
it.
is. You know
Oh,
it's
I
gonna
believe
happen.
it.
But I was gonna ask, did your dad ever, that you recall, show remorse for the loss of your mom? Because I wonder about that. If someone's, implicated in the murder, and at the same time is used to that person being around, there's still going to be some kind of remorse. Even, do you know what I mean? There's like weird forms of remorse and sadness of loss, dealing with it, even if, that's
Yeah,
interesting.
and that's one of the things I later analyzed as an adult. Just looking back and thinking back, you know, in all transparency, you know, and we see it like in today's time and the world we live in, if somebody gets killed and they, you know, or comes up missing, you have the family out, everybody's like they're picketing, they're like putting signs up everywhere. Let you know anybody know anything. If you saw something, say something. You know, I look back and I'm like, that wasn't the case. And then when I evaluate even further, you know, it's times like that. Like we had a tradition. I call it a tradition, but every holiday, including my mother's birthday, we would go out to the gravesite and paint the vault. That's what, you know, they call it, paint the grave. It was like a gold color, but we would layer up in long sleeve shirt because it's hot, you know, South Louisiana. We'd get like four, maybe five cans of this specific gold paint, spray paint, and we'd go out and paint it. Like Easter, Christmas, whatever, you know, or if it's just, so we, you know, that was our, like, father and son bonding. But just to circle back to the question, it never was a time where he was like he kind of pushed the envelope to find out who
Oh,
did
wow.
it, and you know, which was kind of strange and bizarre as I, you know, my own I guess
Yeah.
investigation, you will, you know. So I don't know, it
That's
was kind of
wild.
strange.
Yeah, and at
Yeah.
6 years old, there's, and if, you're that kind of father that's more disconnected, right? Gruff, let's put it that way. Sounds survivalist as well. Then the emotional connectivity between you and him when you were 6 years old was probably not as close as it would be, had it been different, right? So, like, he probably didn't understand where your maturity level was, to probably just thought, oh, you're just a kid, so I don't have to show this. You know what I mean? Whereas if he's dealing with an adult, he may have been different, on
Right,
how he
right.
acted.
And I agree with that. But you know, it and I guess as time went on, and again, I don't want to tell myself any stories, right?
Right.
One thing I'm very cognizant of, but as time went on, you know, it's like, okay, I'm grown now. And it was always, like I mentioned earlier, it's like that dark cloud, you know, and it's like the elephant in the room. You know, me, I was like, well, I don't want to really ask about it, you know. So I just did my own due diligence. I just did my own research, and it wasn't, I don't remember exactly how old I was. I was early teenage years, maybe, I don't know,
Yeah, you have that
early teens.
curiosity of who you are. When you're a teenager, you're
Yeah.
developing and you're starting to figure out who you are. Like, I wonder what mom was like, I wonder what this person is like, And that's why I think family history and genealogy is so huge, is people want to understand their traits as a human being,
Right.
It's like,
Exactly.
yeah, man, I know we got Viking blood, and I'm like, I don't want to be part of that, but I, it's in there. I'm
Right.
like, oh God, if I start to get like a little, huffy about something, I'm like, don't you be a Viking. It's not
Right.
necessary right now, but so it's you the genealogy thing is, hey, we got witches burned at the cross, so it's pretty cool. Back in this, hey, they got in trouble for talking to animals, and we travel across the country pet sitting as we do our shows and document parks and public lands. So go figure, So some traits come through, but yeah, it's you. I think as a teenager, that's when we're figuring ourselves out, and we're a bundle of emotions and trying to understand, and then we think we know it all, and then we find out we don't.
Right.
So
That you
it's,
don't know nothing.
yeah, and we're curious too, and kids are always curious,
Yes.
but at that age, it becomes like, oh yeah, I'm going to go to the library, and that's crazy too, when we microfiches and stuff like that, and then that just makes it, like now you can go online and see all the newspaper reports, and
Right.
that's wild, to see, and just the evidence things on your site. I encourage everyone to go to your website again to pre-order or order depending on when you're listening to this, because some people listen a year later or something. So it is
Right.
rlreed.com. That's REED, rlreed.com, to get the memoir then, and pre-order it, and can order from the website or through your favorite online place. You know how all that works. Or go to your bookstore and ask for them to get it. That's a really cool way as well. So you can do that. But Reggie, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your story, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Everyone, again, we also want to thank our friends over at Books Forward. We do this show every second Wednesday with them, and you never know what we're going to talk about. So, yeah, we go deep, and sometimes it shows where we just have the giggles. So that hysteria I told you about, it still lingers. Everyone, again, booksforward.com, and keep up with us at Big Blend Radio. Thanks so much, Reggie.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.